In the gym and in the car, with our advice you could go far. We fuck things up and we make mistakes, and talk about our sexy dates. We host events and go to clubs, but most of all we're still in love. Getting hard for this to rhyme, just as well, cause it's bed hopping time.
Hello there, and welcome to the Bed Hoppers podcast. My name's Obi-Wan Kenobi, and with me is Padme Amidala.
Wow, at least I'm not Chewbacca, I suppose. Or Jabba.
Well, actually, my name is Mr. H.
And I'm Mrs. H.
And you're joining us today on a very special occasion.
What's happening? Am I getting a present?
I'll come to that in a minute.
Okay.
But first, because we haven't done it for so long, and because everyone demanded it, and because every other podcast known to man does it, what are we drinking?
Oh my God, we haven't done this in time. Oh, well, let me tell you. I'll tell you for why. We are drinking a very, very fine red wine, but...
Asda's finest.
Well, that's not the point. The point is, it is called The Beast.
Oh, my.
And on the back of the very sinister, evil-looking wine bottle, it says, "Release the Beast."
Oh, I see.
Which, you know, really appeals to me.
Good. I thought it might do.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Do you know, it drives me nuts, the "what are you drinking" bit.
What
and
are
looking
drinking?
Back,
clink, 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 what are you drinking?
Yeah, it's all this stuff. Oh my God.
That.
Oh, what is it? It's a drink. It's so nice. What are we watching in the background?
Oh well, we were young.
What
and
are you wearing?
Then.
All this stuff. Anyway, enough of such nonsense. We've got some shiznay to talk about, right?
We have.
We've got some very exciting news.
Okay.
The exciting news is...
Oh, it's Croatia.
Oh, good.
I'm excited about it.
What's it called?
It's Spicy Island.
Yeah.
And it's an island takeover.
Full of spice girls.
Spice.
There's five of them. There's slaggy spice.
You can't go around saying the
slutty
spice
girls
are going to be
there. Wenchy spice. Spicy spice.
Spicy spice.
Neuro spice.
Oh my God. You definitely cannot say that the Spice Girls are going to be on the Spicy Island.
No, I cannot.
No.
However, we are going to be on the Spice Island.
And I will be all of the Spice Girls.
Zig a zig motherfucking ah. So what this is, right? So
yes.
Gentle listener, well, I shall tell you for what it is.
It's Spicy Match,
Spicy,
isn't it?
Spicy Match, the interweb dating platform for swingers and non-monogamous people, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are taking over an island for a couple of weeks, and we are going on
a
week...
A couple of weeks?
A couple of weeks,
oh,
right?
2 weeks,
2 weeks,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so there's the first week, we're not at that.
No.
But the second week, we are at that,
yeah.
And we're going with the delightful Kate from Wonderless Swingers, and we're sort of going along, and 600 other mother-flipping people...
Including the Spice Girls.
I kind of confirm, nor deny, the Spice Girl involved. Probably, I suspect not. I suspect that the normal Spice Girls as we know them will not be going. However,
although, which one would you pick if you could?
Ginger, every time.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
She's the sluttiest, without a doubt, followed probably by Baby.
Would you want her to wear the Union Jack dress?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's so iconic, I'd want to wear that dress, to be fair. However, the Spice Girls are not coming along, but 600 other people are. It's like an island takeover in Croatia. And you can come along too. The great news is there are tickets available. And if you want to purchase tickets, use the link in our show notes because I'm going to put them in there. That's right. I'm going to be writing some more show notes this time around. I've done it for every other episode. I might as well carry on, right?
You get 10% off?
And you get 10% off using code Libertine.
It's very good.
Or Libertine, whichever way you pronounce it.
I would say Libertine, but we'll see.
Libertina. So you put that in and it gets you 10% off.
Yes.
Now, this island takeover looks absolutely incredible. There's chill time, there's pool parties, there's night dancing parties, there's entertainment.
Night dancing parties.
Yes, night dancing parties. The greatest craze that all the kids are loving. Night
it
dancing.
It sounds a little bit like Lost Boys.
It does. Maybe.
Like some vampire shit going on.
It's like...
can only dance at night.
It's like Lost
mostly.
Boys meets Lord of the Flies meets the Fire Festival.
Mostly.
So, but if you check it out, you go to the Spicy Match website, you can have a look, you can check the link. looks really fantastic. I'm well excited about this.
Oh, I've got a question.
Is that question, how many sit-ups we need to do before this event?
There's not a number in the world that will answer that.
No, okay. What is your question?
The answer is a lot. My question is...
Yes, you can be.
Are you going to be naked?
Maybe. This event is clothing optional. So we can get nakes if we want to.
Get necky.
We can do that. And you can wear clothes and you can chill out and you don't have to party all the time, but you can party all the time if you want to, because there's always something. Yeah, at night and dance at night at the dance night party thing. So yeah, all of this stuff looks incredible. But this has triggered something of a holy shit. Do I feel body confident right now?
Not right now. But I am drinking the beast, so I cannot.
You're drinking the beast.
The beast.
My penis is the beast.
If that's what you want to call it, babe.
And that's what you've called it before.
I'm not calling it that.
Oh dear. All right. Okay.
The emperor.
Take your hands off the emperor.
Release the emperor.
So we are in this moment where we're kind of getting body. Yeah. Ready, I think, is that is the next phase. I mean, we've got some stuff going on over the next few weeks.
Be the next phase, yes.
In the big butts craze, I got a dance release to do. I learned it with the rhythm, and so can you. And what's that from?
I'm going to say, don't tell me, Jet Set Radio.
No.
Fuck, Papa thing.
Shake your body up and down if you can, man. Everybody do the butt, man.
Oh, no, is it? Oh, my God. You're so uncool right now.
I've never been cool.
From Papa the Rapper.
Parappa the Rapper.
That's
kick,
the one.
Punch it all in the mind if you want to test me.
You couldn't forgive me for thinking it was the same thing. It sounded very peppy.
Very peppy.
Very peppy. Or a bit Jet Set Radio.
Maybe it's just my delivery that is exceedingly peppy.
I wasn't expecting you to go like old school with Bartman.
Bartman. Not the Bartman.
Bartman is a solicitor, I think.
So we are, I mean, at the moment we're drinking wine and it's now the weekend. We're running late as ever recording with this. This is our second attempt at doing this episode, so it could go completely astray.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. It's all going to be good, folks. Mm. So I think outside of that and outside of our trip to see Kate and Daryl to go to Amsterdam and Utrecht and all that sort of stuff, and outside of our karaoke evenings coming up and visits to friends and friends visiting us,
so those 3 days that we've got spare will be.
We are going to be
eating.
So on it. We're going to not eat. I'm going to do so many sit-ups. I'm going to feel really good about myself. That is the plan, right?
Okay.
So we've got that. But talking of body confidence, one of the things that I wanted to bring up was 30 days of lingerie, right?
30 million days of bum pants.
So if you're not aware of this movement, so it started a few years ago, I think by a lovely lady in Australia, and I think Kate has picked it up since then.
Yes.
And promotes it as a month-long posting of people in their underwear, men, women, people who don't identify with the gender, posting pictures of themselves in their underwear in a sort of celebration of their bodies and in a kind of way that we can all get behind everybody and celebrate their bodies and cheer them on and say, you are fucking awesome. Well done you for being so brave and awesome and cool.
Excellent.
One of the things, however... that I have noticed that is kind of, it's not got me down.
It irks you.
It irks me a little bit.
What irks you so, Mr. H?
I tell you what irks me, wife, is that, so we post a picture of you. Doesn't even have to be a great picture. Like, technically, it doesn't have to be a great picture, right? It can just be a picture of your tits and a bra, right?
Okay, yeah.
Presumably your bra, but, you know, who knows these days. And I'll post this well-groomed, set up, interesting shot with loads of stuff going on that's really nicely framed of me and my pants, and your tits will get like 400 likes and I'll get 30. And objectively, I think I've worked out that the attractiveness ratio, because I can only assume that it's based on attractiveness.
Why would you assume that?
Oh, I can't think of anything else that it could be. Anyway, it was an interesting sum.
Surely it's just because more people will click on pictures of women.
Well,
and
maybe.
Go, hey, there's some jugs.
I can't compete with the fact that you are a woman. Not that it's a competition, but I can't deal with it. So ultimately, I can only assume it's based on attractiveness. So I have worked out that you get 5 times precisely more likes than I do on your pictures.
Does that mean I'm 5 times more attractive?
Yes,
than you?
That's what I can only assume.
That's bullshit.
Well, no, I think this is how it works. This is how I've mathematically solved this issue.
I think it's
issue.
More based on who interacts on Twitter or X or whatever. And
or is it that
it's probably just a load of bots that like mine. Don't worry.
Well, I don't think that. Well, all the bots seem to want to fuck you. So,
sex bots,
sex pests. More like, I suspect. But it's been an interesting thing. And I think, you know, I feel in an okay space with my body. I don't feel kind of like getting naked on an island fit, but I don't feel a million miles away from that.
No.
I feel like a good couple of months on the go without going too hard on drinking and eating like a madman. So I don't know where I'm going to manage that. But I think that I can feel like I'll be in pretty good shape. But at the same point, my confidence is taking a knock posting this. And I get that it's all about celebrating our bodies and showing other people that we can do it. You know, like, hey men, let's rally behind each other and you post a picture and I'll post a picture and we'll like that picture. And that is really fucking important. Mm. But at the same time, it's a little bit soul destroying when we can post comparable pictures, I guess is the nicest way of putting it. And one will get yours, honey, will get like 3 million likes. And not it's all about the likes, but it does drive me mad. And mine will get like 8. And it's a real interesting dichotomy there because you can see it happen with people that are posting, like the men that are posting those pictures.
Perfectly nice men. Are you seeing similar trends with the men that you know?
Yeah, yeah. Even
right,
the,
so it's a comparable
thing. It is a comparable thing. And,
it's
and
not
even
just
the,
you that's not getting minimal likes. It because you're a man.
Well,
it's
I think
other men.
Because
as well.
It's me, I'm getting extra punished, one assumes. Because like, the world does indeed revolve around me. But I think it's been quite an interesting experiment. I mean, we're only halfway there. So, we're not even halfway there. We're not even a Bon Jovi right now. But if you want to take part, it's not too late. You can jump on the bandwagon, do it, and use the hashtag 30 Days of Lingerie. Go on to Twitter X or whatever it's called these days and have a look. And you'll see a number of posts from us. We're yet to do one today. We need to sort that out. But it is a fascinating thing.
Lots of people dive into the vault, though. They don't have to do a new one every day.
They don't have to, but I kind of want to do a new one every day. I want to lord it up over those people that haven't.
All right, okay.
I want to try and do it. But I think the thing that does drive me mad is that the guys don't get the appreciation. Now, whether that appreciation doesn't come from women or doesn't come from other guys, it just seems to be a lack of support. And I find this really depressing. And so I try and do my best as I go through my swinging adventures to compliment men and make sure they feel as valued as the women that I compliment. I don't want to fuck the men. Just because I've hearted
you
a...
Don't?
No, I don't. I know it's a perpetual problem
out.
For you. You're out as a result
I'm
of that.
I'm going to drop this microphone right now.
If only you could drop that microphone. But I think, you know, like I go through my life trying to make sure that I compliment the men. And if I see something that I like, that I tell them about that.
Yeah.
Because that's important to me, right?
You're very good at that.
Maybe I'm getting better at it. I'd say that I'm not great at it. I could be better. But it seems like the rest of the world need to catch up on that. I think within our little group of friends and people that come along to our community stuff and people that come to our events, most of them kind of are on board with that philosophy. I think they're starting to, and the newer ones, they kind of get that sense, probably because I've rant about this quite a lot, but it's just been a really interesting experiment. And, you know, and especially where there are people who have partners and their partners post, and then you see the woman get like 300 likes. Often it may be a great picture, it may not be, but and then the guys will post one the next day and they'll get like 6. And it doesn't matter how big their following or how awesome they are. There is this complete sort of dichotomy between the two.
So what's the answer?
I think the only real answer is to stop moaning about it, I think, for one.
Well, no, because that means you're not passionate about it anymore and that's not the case. However, I think in anything, when you put yourself up publicly in a very, very public forum with, you know, lots and lots of interactions from all these bots and maybe some real people, you do end up having to grow broad shoulders at some point because you're not always going to see nice things. I don't see nice things sometimes about me. And, you know, if I took more to heart, I think it'd be really difficult to pick myself up and keep doing it.
The irony is, with all the working out I've been doing, my shoulders are pretty fucking big.
We're halfway there then.
Well, interestingly, halfway there. We kind of, as we were going through your dad's stuff or some of your dad's stuff, and we've got a whole house to clear of antiques and knickknacks and a lifetime's worth of stuff. One of the things I found in his wallet was a memory card. A phone memory card. It was a like a camera.
Camera. Camera.
Like 256 megabytes. I mean, there you go, folks. That's how big it was. I think I've got calculators more powerful than this now. Anyway, so with some trepidation, I was able to get the files off that. Anyway, it was a bit of an old format on there. I had to pull the stuff off and it took a little bit of faffing. Anyway, finally got it off. I'm really just saying that to make me look good, I think, and think that I've done a good thing for Mrs. H. But let's say that it was difficult and I braved the thing. With some view of, I don't know what I'm going to get off this camera. They could have been taking nudes for all we know.
It's like taking your film to Boots and back in the day, isn't it? And like going, Can you develop bees? And then running away just in case there is something real dodgy in one of them, and they call you back and have that sticker on the side that goes,
yeah,
what we need to talk to you about this film.
What you have posted is not suitable for our poor eyes. So I, you know, developed, for want of a better phrase, these pictures. And it was really wonderful because they actually stem back to 2003, right? So some time ago, like 20 years ago, right?
Oh, I know, crazy.
More. And it was at some of the kids' parties. It was a very boring selection of pictures they'd taken on a trip around Russia, which was, and they weren't in hardly any of the pictures, which was like a bit disappointing. It was just pictures of architecture and half of those weren't in focus. But within those, there were some nuggets. And it was really nice to see your mum and dad together see them having a nice time. And that was something that we'll treasure. And I'm so glad that we got it. But the gold within this was some pictures of me.
Three pictures, I think.
Three or four pictures of me looking very, very different. And it's fair to say that 20 odd years ago, I was, and I'm not fat shaming anybody. This is my own journey. Please don't take this as a thing. But I was, there was like twice the size of me.
And you had more timber.
I had a lot more timber. I also had this awful sort of longish fringe hair like nowadays it would have been styled into like a boy band type cut.
You tried to style it in a boy band.
I did once.
I remember you buying hair straighteners and bloody products galore.
I don't think I got straighteners.
You looked for some straighteners because they straightened it in the salon for you that day, I remember.
Yeah.
Back going, yeah, look at this.
When I came out of the salon, it was great. But actually, the next day, it just looked shit. So it was very difficult to style. I don't understand it. But anyway, the main point was, I was like, holy crap, look at what I'm half the man I used to be.
Literally.
Quite literally. And it was fascinating to show that journey and that effort that I've put in over the last 20 years has made a difference. I can now only assume that I'm on a trajectory that is like, you know, destined to be like Brad Pittian levels of greatness. Like I'm starting down the bottom there and I'm drawing an imaginary sort of line graph in my head that is escalating me to even further levels of handsomeness.
You'll be George Clooney, Silver Fox before you know it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'm already getting a bit silver or white.
I like that.
Oh, good.
I do. I think you look hot.
Maybe I should diet. I don't know.
No, I like it.
Diet green.
What?
Yeah, it's like a punk.
You know. Well, you could, but
that'd be fine. Everyone be on board.
Well, there's some pictures of me in there that aren't so great either.
No, I think, I mean, again.
They were not. Come on. I was also much larger then.
So there was also some challenging pictures of you. Less, I think, because your hair looked nice, it helped. And you were wearing some sensible clothing, whereas I was not.
I don't know what you were doing.
I don't know what I was doing. But it was
very, very, very different pictures, and you had very different glasses and no beard.
There was no beard, yeah.
And that really changes the shape of someone's face anyway. I think a beard can be incredibly
erotic.
A thing to sit upon and ride. Giving a rounder shaped face some kind of narrowing qualities, maybe.
Like it can change the shape of your face, absolutely. And it can make it better or worse. And I think
you definitely have slimmed down so much since those days.
Yeah, but it was fascinating looking back at those pictures. So, you know, I guess in the body crisis mode, I'm kind of like, okay, well, the 30 days is kind of knocked my confidence a little bit, but seeing the pictures upped my confidence a little bit, and the panic of the spicy island getting ready for that has made me think, shit, I should be better. So overall, I'm sort of pretty much where I was. So I guess I could have not mentioned any of this and we'd have all been sort of 20 minutes quicker into content if we actually had anything to talk about, which of course we do.
Uh-huh.
So we've talked a little bit about what we've got coming up, right? Because we've got the Spicy Island. There may be some announcements from us soon, but obviously we're teasing you a little bit on that, but there may be some details we can send you away if you're part of our regular communities and patrons and all that sort of stuff.
I was looking pretty clueless then, but that's nothing new for me.
But so I didn't recognise that you were doing anything different, really. So there's that. We're going to Amsterdam and Utrecht to see Kate and Daryl. That's lovely. We've got a friend staying with us pretty soon. That's pretty cool.
Got lots going on.
Yeah, we've got lots going on. We've got lots of little trips and stuff planned. It's really exciting. We just need enough time to not eat and drink ourselves to death before we go away and get naked.
I can't disassociate the fact that we're not going to Love Island.
or the Fyre Festival.
Or the very, very, very unsuccessful Fyre Festival, which I have rewatched recently because it's brilliant.
Well, so we watched it.
Awful.
And
but now I'm like, oh my God, what if it's like,
well, this is
which the, of course it won't be.
Won't be because they've established this event.
It's a
tried
and tested thing.
Yeah, they've
done
it before.
Great success. It's going to be brilliant.
It has just happened that the day before this was all agreed that we're going to be going to this place, we were watching the Fyre Festival thing, and you just can't help make the comparison of sexy people on an island at this great event and like all these people gathering and it's going to be awesome and then go,
turning up a bottle of water in a tent.
But actually, having seen the videos of the previous year,
it does look amazing.
It looks absolutely fucking fantastic and fantastic fucking, one hopes. So, you know, click that link. Come along with us. It'll be awesome to party with you.
Yeah, at the night dancing party with the Spice Girls.
That's the one. That's the exact one. So, and so we've covered what we've got coming up, but what have we been doing? Because we had our event and we wanted to tell you about our event and gloat about how
and
awesome
we did.
That was. And we did. We did
and
that.
And it was glorious.
And it was glorious. But we also, before that, we went to a couple of things that was probably worth chatting about.
Yeah.
And touching on some of the things that have sort of come out of that.
Okay.
All right. The first thing that I'm going to talk about is the Swing Hub PJ party.
Excellent. Yep. And I trailblazed that last time by saying how great it was to wear slippers all night.
It was lovely wearing
and
PJs.
I don't regret saying
so. I mean, this was at Penthouse Playrooms. This was 300 people crammed into there.
Yeah, it was busy.
Very, very busy, run by Gage and Liv and their team of 16 odd people, I think, that supported the Swing Hub. Mm. And so we went along with the delightful Kate, hanging around with Kate, which is always fun. Mm. And we chilled out in a hotel first, had something to eat, and then bimbled over there to kind of see how this...
In pyjamas.
Yeah. We weren't bussed over. I mean, that wasn't cool, but you know, that's just me being...
But I was in pyjamas.
You...
And I was extremely comfortable. And it was very, very odd going out for a night out, but in something really comfy.
Well, this event started with a couple of highs for me, I think, that I really enjoyed. Mm. One was that we were in pyjamas, so we were already very comfortable, right? It's quite a win. It felt nice. It was nice and chilled out.
I agree.
I was kind of cool with that. Second part of it was is that we had some friends that were in the hotel and we all jumped in a large cab and then we sang our asses off in that cab.
Oh, we did 20 minutes of karaoke in the
car. It was great. I loved
carpool
that.
Carpool karaoke.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Bohemian Rhapsody, I think.
I'm not
or
sure. Everyone
Queen.
In the car enjoyed it.
Well, I think everyone enjoyed it. Everyone was definitely up for that. But what made me laugh is we spill out of the cab and there's this great big queue going out the door.
In the rain.
In the rain and it's a bit cold and a bit rubbish. And we're there, yay! Each morning I get up, I dance. And the crowd that were there were not enthusiastic about our enthusiasm.
Our karaoke was not well received.
Yeah, we tried some classics. I think there was maybe some Green Day, maybe some Blink-182, maybe some Wheatus. I don't know, that sort of stuff. And the details of it have passed me by now because it's been a while. But the crowd did not want us to sing and didn't join in. They turned their faces away from us. We were shunned.
We are not going to be street performers anytime soon. We failed to attract a crowd.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So as we get in, a bag search, checked in, that was all fine. And I think Penthouse now, because they've banned gum, haven't they? From what I understand.
Chewing gum,
yes. Mm-hmm. And probably guns.
Lest it gets stuck in people's hair and on upholstery.
And people bringing their own drinks and stuff like that. They've banned that stuff.
Very sensible.
That may have always been banned, but they're making extra efforts to remove that. So there was a bit of a longer delay coming through as the bags were searched to make sure that everything was safe and that people couldn't be bringing their gum around the place, which is cool. So we get in and... To be fair, I think we had some initial impressions before we turned up, right? Because it was a Swing Hub party.
Yeah.
What did you expect the crowd to be? Tell us about that.
I mean, I'm pigeonholing massively here, and I'm generalizing massively.
Oh, cool.
All right. That's more like Dove from Above, but cool. I don't want to generalize, but I'm going to because this is how you've asked me how I perceived it to be in my head before I got there, and this is unfortunately how I did perceive it. I felt it was going to be a very young demographic.
Okay.
I really did. I based that partly on what I saw in some of the chats that existed beforehand.
Yep.
I thought everyone was going to be way younger and hotter. I mean, to be fair, that's a default. I always assume they're younger and hotter than me. And I kind of assumed that nobody would really be in my frame of reference for kind of my age. And maybe I just thought they'd all be really hot. Really young, perhaps. Okay. And I felt like a lot of people already knew each other maybe as well, or maybe, you know, people had been to previous Swing Hub things and maybe knew each other via Swing Hub and already had connections.
Okay. I mean, my impression was that it was probably going to be quite an Insta-friendly, a content creator-friendly crowd. Quite a lot of that, I think.
I think that's what I mean by the beautiful ones.
Yeah. And not the Suede song, right?
Oh, that's a great song.
Or is it Swede? Who knows? We'll never
Suede.
Know. We'll never know. It's never been proven.
You Swede?
Anyways, the thing about that was, so as we were sort of getting ready for this, or on the build up to this event, there was a chat group. Now, that chat group was on Telegram, right? Now, I have to be honest, I fucking hate Telegram and WhatsApp.
It's not my preferred platform for group
chats. Eventually, there were, I think, two or three sort of threads or strands or whatever you want to call them, little different groups about which hotels people were staying in and who you are kind of thing. So you could post a picture of yourself and a little bit of detail. And again, people were double posting, then they were commenting on it. So I'm glad to see those problems exist everywhere within the lifestyle. But I really struggled to keep up with that conversation. And as I started chatting, I just kind of got the impression that the crowd probably wasn't my crowd.
Right.
Now, obviously, we run our own events.
Yeah.
So when we're running our chat, let's be fair, it's run my way. And so I find it hard to let go of that. So I especially find it difficult when there's just one long stream of constant chat. I need it to be broken up. I need to be,
some
different sections.
Know where you can go if you want to know something specific about details. Information that's valuable to you rather than just get lost in a stream of consciousness.
And they did send out like a big PDF around some of the key details, but there wasn't really a space where you could go and find out more. There was just a constant stream of chat. And sometimes Gage would pop into that and give some updates and give some information. Mm. Sometimes other people on the Swing Hub team would do the same thing, but it was very much a constantly... And, you'd leave it for an hour of an evening and you'd come back and find that there were 600 messages. And that happened a number of times. And I chat a lot. I enjoy chatting, but I just found it like overwhelming for my experience. So I didn't feel as though I'd made any real connections. I mean, one or two people reached out and said they listened to the show and that they liked what we do or were curious about it. But beyond that, no one really got in touch and no one really spoke to us. And
I also felt
like I hadn't built any real connections. And I also felt like I was playing the role of a sensible dad, but have you thought about this way? Have you thought about this? That's just the nature of, because it's not necessarily a Superman chat. It just.
A Superman chat?
Not a Superman. Superman.
It's a Superman chat.
You don't even like Superman.
I like Superman.
You don't. He's a Boy Scout.
I really like the films, though.
Yeah, but he's like
not
Captain America.
Not the Henry Cavill ones.
Yeah, but he is just...
He's a bit good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very good.
He's a bit good.
So I don't put
Except
you in
Except when he has a kryptonite when he goes bad.
Well, there we go. So you
That's
like...
That's great.
So, but if you were to choose a different DC superhero, it would probably be Batman or Wonder Woman because she's hot.
Oh, you got... No, I don't like Wonder Woman. But you have a fair point there. Well done. Thank you.
All right,
we digress. Sorry.
We're talking about the Beast again, obviously. So enough about my fair point. So we had all this, or I had a lot of this in my mind as we rocked up. And actually, when we got there, so they'd displayed lots of, or given away lots of little popcorn buckets. There was going to be a popcorny machine or something there, but there was buckets.
It was
and
all
candy
made
floss.
Up in like pink and drapey and like
a
bedroom
a bit of
kind of
drapey
vibe.
Bedroom kind of vibe going on. There was some teddy bears with Swing Hub t-shirts on and stuff. And there was some challenges around finding envelopes and stuff that they left around the place. And I think there were some games, though I didn't actually see those.
No.
So we went upstairs and we saw Gage and Liv for about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, anything after that, then I don't think I saw them.
Engulfed by the crowd.
Maybe. Yeah, pretty much engulfed.
It was a big crowd.
It was absolutely fucking around in there. So we kind of just ended up chilling out and chatting to people.
Mm.
And at one point,
yes,
I did a little bit more than chatting to people.
Oh, do tell.
So, a delightful hot lady that we know. We were chatting. Oh, I was chatting to her she asked if she could kiss me.
Okay. I did not know this at the time. Yeah.
Okay. So... Which is fine. It's all...
We're all good with that.
So I started making out with her and she sent her partner away, I think.
Oh, really?
I think so. Like,
why did she send him away?
Or he just got bored or waiting for me to finish.
Well, that's probably more likely.
Probably quite likely. And you were sort of stood near me.
I was fairly nearby you when I saw you.
And then I moved from... Because I was stood by what we've termed the Wendy House, which is the little... If you know penthouse playrooms, there's a little covered, like...
Yeah.
Bit. So
I saw you by the bar, kind of next to it. Yeah.
I was next to it and I took three paces to the left and went and sat down in the Wendy house, and she was sat on my lap making out with me, right?
Okay.
Except you didn't see me move from that space.
No, I did not.
To that space.
You were there 1 minute, and then I looked around 10 minutes later and you were not there.
Cue a Mrs. H meltdown, right?
Not immediately.
Okay, tell us about what happened.
It was perfectly, perfectly feasible that you had gone to the bathroom, that you had moved further down the bar to get a drink.
Yep.
That you had just been swallowed up a little bit by the crowd. So I didn't immediately panic, but then after 5 minutes, I glanced over again and I was chatting to a few people and I was standing sort of on the other side of the bar, and I just couldn't really see you for 5-10 minutes. And I thought, well, he's not going to the bathroom because he's not back. Or if he is in the bathroom, and okay, is he all right? So then I thought, hey, I can't see him. I'm just feeling a bit uneasy because I don't like losing sight of you unless it's by agreement, kind of like, I'm going to go over there now, bye.
Yeah.
That would probably be fine. Well, it would be fine because we communicated about it.
Yeah.
But because I couldn't see you, I did have a little bit of a, well, where is he?
And
we're not supposed to wander off like that, are we?
I think you thought I'd gone and started playing with her.
I know. I mean, that's a leap. I'd be lying if it didn't jump into my head at one point, but only in a kind of inevitable, if you can't see your partner and you're in a fucking sex club, of course you're going to be like, oh, where the fuck has he gone? Has he gone to a room? You're going to entertain a thought that you probably shouldn't, but I didn't follow through that thing.
You didn't follow through.
I didn't assume that that's what you had done.
Yeah.
But obviously it flitted through my mind as a, where the possibilities of where Mr. H could be, that was probably one of them.
It was like, where's Wally in a club? Where is he?
And damn it, you're wearing pajamas like everyone else.
Wearing his tiger pajamas.
However, and so I did the sensible thing. I excused myself from the group of people I was talking with and I decided to do a circuit of the club. And that was fine because I went for a wheel on the way past, went to the bathroom, did a little circuit, went up and down around the playrooms, just so I could go around the corridors, and because it's huge, right? It's such a big place and it's very labyrinthian and it's, you can get lost quite easily. So there are communal areas by playrooms as well.
By playrooms.
So you don't, even if you're not in a playroom, there are little communal areas where there's seating and things. So it's feasible you could have gone over there as well. You weren't there. Went downstairs. You weren't there. I went to the sort of gardeny bit. Nope, weren't there. And then I was a bit pissed. I was like, right, where the fuck is he? And still heaving in there, still loads of people. So it's quite a battle getting crowds. Went back to where I'd been, got my drink again, started chatting to people again. And then I had a couple of people kind of appear at my elbow going, oh, where is he? Are you okay? Because I must have been looking a bit like edgy by this point, I guess.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. A bit pissed off now. So I did another circuit. And then on my way back after the second circuit, I kind of walked past the little Wendy house, I keep calling it that. And a few people had moved away from the door so I could finally see in there. And because there had been a lot of people kind of crowded around and you just couldn't really see in. And it's quite dark in there as well.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, there you were in your tiger pajamas. Pretty girl sat on your lap.
What?
Hands all over each other's faces.
What made me laugh is you shouted her name.
Well, I was like, I did actually.
You did. You were like an angry C-3PO. You're like, oh, what are you doing here? Oh,
I think you're fine, I didn't.
You did, because she almost scurried off like Zoidberg into the crowd, like, whoop, 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 whoop.
You like, did spring apart a little bit, like, whoa.
Because your tone was very much of that someone that is going to get out a baton and start beating us to death.
Because I was like, fuck's sake.
But I had,
because you did look a little bit like busy. I was like, hello.
Like, this is
all right.
It was only making out.
You were very handsy, you two.
But, yeah, but it's still making out.
And you'd gone out of my sight. Didn't know where you were.
I moved three paces to the left. That's all that happened and sat down. Anyway, it's great how we can drag a story out about me moving 3 paces to the left into a whole 10-minute segment.
You know, it's just because I couldn't see.
I know.
And had you just like caught my attention, like just caught my eye and got, just going to, I don't know if you can see what I'm doing on there, but.
What I should have done is given you what, three words or whatever it is.
Oh, fuck that. I can't do that. I couldn't even find a way to my own house.
It'd have been like potato bin and tube
or something. I still don't understand this. I still don't get it.
I'll explain that to you later. Don't worry.
No, three don't. Words. That's
like a full on non-conversation.
However, had you caught my eye.
Yes.
It didn't even have to come over. Caught my eye and just maybe used like a little hand signal to suggest that I'm just going to sit down or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you okay?
I'm just going to go. Yeah, just do the finger into the hole movement.
But no, even if you just give me a thumbs up. And I've been like, I'm just going over there. I might have been like, cool.
Okay.
I'm all right. I know where you're going. It's not like you're going, oh, I'm just going to get some condoms. Bye.
I love the irony of me crossing a threshold.
Oh, well, we've done since Threshold Gate, haven't we? Because we have, because following all that, we did get ourselves in a little bit of a situation where we could not seem to be forgiving enough of each other to let each other just go and do normal things like kiss.
Yeah.
And it got silly. And no, so we did. We did get to a point where we said we have to resolve this and be adult about it. And we are.
I know, but that's what it's funny and makes me laugh.
And then we didn't have that conversation and we just got really shitty about everything.
It was funny because I
know.
I didn't really cross a threshold because it's I suppose you could call it another room if you really wanted to, or an alcove of that one room.
It was dark, secluded, couldn't see where you'd gone.
Perfect. So anyway, I think,
however,
talking about the night, so we didn't stay particularly late that night. I think we weren't, and this is something that I'm going to sort of pick up, and I don't know whether we'll have time to go into it in this particular episode because we've got another little section to talk about, but I don't think we were particularly forward in going and speaking to people at the event. And I think we've probably sort of gone into a little bit of a rut in terms of going back to where we used to be. I think we're great at talking to people when they come to us.
Or at our own events.
Yeah. I mean, if it's at our own event, contractually, we need to talk to them.
Kind of need to talk to people.
Yeah, we do need to go out and do it. And we do need to, because we are at work, effectively, to a certain extent.
Yeah. And but obviously, we like hosting. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. And we've got the host hat on and it's fine. And I think also during those particular events, we do for quite a while operate separately because you'll be manning the desk and I'll be schmoozing around the place and going and talking to people by its very nature. But I think as a couple, when we go to events and we go to things, we're not so great at introducing ourselves and saying, hey, and we're also not great at finding people that we might want to play with at a certain time. We're even worse at that. Mm. And I think whilst we did chat to a lot of people, there were a lot of people that came over, they listened to the podcast. And honestly, it was lovely to meet so many people. And it's really, really cool to meet people that listen. It touches me. It really does. And I feel really honored that people spend time listening to our show, that they find it useful, hopefully. Mm. And then they want to tell us about their experience. I love that.
And we did meet some really lovely people.
And we did, 100%. But what we're not so great at, and this is a bit of a theme and we'll come on to that in a minute, I don't think going out and speaking to other people and introducing ourselves as a unit, we are on the, for want of a better phrase, on the hunt. We are out there looking to meet people, either people that we want to play with, which is very, very, very rare these days because of stuff that we'll go into, but also people that we just want to chat to. So I think there is something of a, there is a bit of a thing that we've devolved, I think, in this space.
I agree that we're fortunate that most conversations are easy to have because they're already started by other people.
Yeah.
I guess is what you're saying. And that's in a sense, it doesn't really test you or make you have to try very hard because they're kind of there and you're having those conversations by their very nature without having to go and find them.
And I think part of it is that like some people that come and speak to us are lovely. Some people that are like really hot and some of them are not because it's like a selection of people out there. And we're not actually looking out for people that we want to play with potentially down the line as well. So there is this kind of, so these people are coming to us and it's a complete roll the dice as to whether you're interested. And also, I think at your own events, there is a bit of a...
a professional boundary?
Yeah, a little bit of
a
that.
A little, when like, you're in a working certainly when host mode. Yeah,
certainly when you're in work and
can't
host
mode.
Can't
be like, excuse me, line, just wait there while I just go and like...
Yeah, number three, can you number three come in? It's your turn. You've got 15 minutes, make it good. No, you can't do that. And I think that's really poor form. But I think we've also become really bad at that, going out and finding people that we want to engage with. And even if it's not about knocking boots, it's about the want of conversation. Oh, that person looks interesting. Or we overheard them talking about something. Let's go chat to them. And I think that certainly spills over into the second part of our conversation in a moment. But in terms of the overall PJ event, before we do that, I think it seemed like a nice party. We didn't play at it. We didn't stay that late.
No, we didn't stay super late. We went back with Kate and we had pizza, which was amazing.
Yeah, that was cool. I enjoyed that bit.
Didn't get particularly like super tipsy or anything. It was all good.
It was a really fun night.
Quite respectful but night.
And like going back to those expectations that we had, actually I found the crowd to be very normal.
Yeah.
And that was a bit of a surprise to me because all of the people that are very vocal on the chat certainly seem to be of the sort of content creator, and maybe perhaps it's just a vocal minority. Because when we went there, it could have been any collection of people. Mm-hmm. Not to say that it was a bad collection of people, but actually that the depth and breadth of who was there felt like a normal night out. Could have been our night out, could have been someone else's. There was no, other than the fact that everyone was wearing pajamas.
Some were very, very skimpy pajamas.
And I think that was the thing that I struggled with a little bit in that, yes, it was a Swing Hub party. Yes, it was organised through Swing Hub. But what I didn't get a sense of truly was, what is a Swing Hub party? What is a Swing Hub community? And maybe because it's a site, it doesn't have any alignment with any particular thing. It doesn't have a code of conduct. Obviously, it has codes of conduct, but it doesn't have a personality, or certainly that I could witness as a group that was being herded, that made it feel different to other things. So whilst it was very good and there was lots of effort that went in and there was good stuff around and there's games or whatever, I didn't see those. I don't think it felt any different to me to any other events, particularly, you know, if we're comparing it to our own. And I'm going to be biased on that, but it didn't feel like any different group of people. And I think my concerns about who was going to be there and how they were going to act and all this sort of stuff just kind of went out the window because it was just a bunch of people.
I did meet some lovely people.
Yeah, I agreed. So the other thing that we did was we went to the Swindon Social.
Yeah, it's going back a bit now, isn't it?
It is going back a little bit. Well, we've had other stuff to talk about and other stuff to do. So a while ago, we went to a Swindon Social.
Yeah.
You drove up there in a thrilling twist of, you know, because Swindon's like an hour and a half away for us, right? So I jumped in your car and we go-karted our way to Swindon.
I should remember this.
Well, you know, this is the thing. And we got there and we were able to catch up with some friends, which is really nice, and have a bite to eat first. And they'd already met some people. They knew a couple of people there.
Yeah.
And I think we knew one other couple that was going to be there.
I think from memory, yes, we were aware of one of the couple.
So we got there, the venue was nice enough. It was kind of quite a big dance floor and a little bit of seating around the edges of it.
Yeah, not tons of seating, but a little bit, yeah.
And I don't, you know, once again, I'm not too sure how conducive it was to conversation.
And again, I struggle so much with this, and I appreciate I now am in possession of information, which tells me I am a little bit hearing lossy.
A little. You are now in possession of information,
Now I've struggled for a while, like hearing people in loud environments.
Getting old, son.
I just to put that down to the fact that I just don't do loud noises particularly well, and I struggle to hear people over loud music.
Yeah.
I've always been a little bit, really, I recently have really, really, really struggled with it. And I find it so unsocial from my perspective because I can't hear. And I find myself having to either stand super, super close to their mouth, which is a bit weird because I'm like, what's that? Hang on. And I feel rude just like keep asking them to repeat themselves all the time. So I struggle anyway. And I probably should do something about that, but I'm not quite there yet.
Maybe we need one of those like record player, like earpieces, like his master's voice thing.
It does
thing
stick in your ear. And I know I struggle with it and that puts me off a little bit because I know I'm going to struggle unless they turn the music down a bit and I can hear a conversation. I don't think I'm alone in that though. I think other people have said in the past, like for a social, it's usually helpful to be able to have a conversation rather than be drowned out by music.
And I think that's the thing. It helps to be able to hear things. And I mean, it was an interesting venue. I think it would have been nice enough, but it was quite noisy.
A bit loud, yeah.
It wasn't massively busy. I mean, I'd say 60 maybe people there, maybe a bit more, but, and you know, we were welcomed in by the host. Again, didn't really see the hosts afterwards, which I always struggle a little bit with that because I think we kind of go a bit out of our way. Again, tooting my own horn here, but I like to kind of at least be visible and making my way through the crowds and talking to people and checking that they're okay. But you know, everyone has a different style, right? And actually sort of the seating arrangements weren't particularly conducive to going around and meeting people either.
Definitely weren't conducive to conversation.
Well, I think once you'd sat down in a little area, because there were like sort of half booths, I think.
Yeah.
You were kind of locked in and you didn't want to give up your space because there wasn't much seating at all. So you weren't really necessarily going from place to place to place chatting to other people. However, That said, aside from, yeah, and this goes back to what I was saying earlier about the pajama party, I think outside of the people that we already knew and outside of the people that they introduced us to.
Yeah.
And outside again of the people that listened to the podcast.
And came over to us.
And then came over to us. We didn't go and talk to anybody.
Didn't put ourselves out there so much.
We didn't. And I think part of that is, you know, I remember asking you before we left, you know, is there anyone that you like the look of? You were like, no. And I was like, is there anyone you want to talk to? No. And I'm like, well, let's just go then. Yes. So, and I think, you know, I'm not blaming you for that approach. Although I think there is an element where it's hard to tell what you're interested in. Mm. And I think we probably need to pick some of these themes up on the next show just to explore them more deep. Because I think this has all been a bit of a setup of kind of having this conversation, I guess. Mm. And since we're now 46 minutes or however many minutes we are into it, I think this is probably best saved to go into on the next show. But there's a couple of things that are coming up to me, right? Mm. One, we are a bit shit at going and talking to people.
Okay.
I think we're great if people come and talk to us. We're great, but we have devolved back to when we started and we'd go to a room and we'd sit in a corner and just stay there. And I think back actually, and I think back to like even going back to PCAP in Miami, there was still a bit of that to us. I think it's our natural default.
Do you think that's because we're, I was going to say, shy? Surely not. Is that because we're shy or fearful of rejection or that someone won't find us interesting to talk to? Or
I think
laziness,
it's because,
or?
Well, I think I'm scared of rejection and I think you don't give a fuck. And I think as a combination.
Good luck editing that button noise out. I don't know what that was, but it came out of me.
Well, I think there is
just like launched straight in with it. You just don't give a fuck.
Well, I don't think you do. I think unless someone catches your interest, it's very, very visible on your face. And the problem,
except for my face, does not hide things well.
No, and I think part of the issue is that it's really hard to tell when you're into people or if you're into people.
Should I tell them? Is that what I should do?
Well, maybe tell me. Like if you see someone that you're interested in, tell me.
Hey, babe.
No, but I think that we do need to have a chat about how we deal with this.
Yes, because, I know. You're
because
right.
Because I'm generally like an enthusiastic puppy that's just a bit scared. Whereas you're like...
You should stop peeing on people then.
Well, I should
that
do.
That should probably help.
Well, they do give me money to do that, so that's fine. But the trick is getting you into a space where you see people that you like or you want to interact with and that we can do that. Because it's pointless me endlessly bounding up to people and overcoming that fear, which I can do.
Yeah.
And obviously do that when I'm hosting and stuff. But to the end of you're going like, well, why are you talking to them? And I don't think you'd be quite that bad.
No.
But
you are demonising me a little bit.
I do play that for laughs to a certain extent. But there is a glimmer of truth in that, I think. Yeah, there is a bit of a, oh. Now, I think, you know, the other thing that we need to sort of mention is actually that, you know, I think you are less worried about playing with people.
That's worried.
Well, not worried. I think you don't see, not the need.
I don't find it so much of a... Priority.
As a priority. Okay. Now, and
no, you're right. Probably.
And I think there is something in the fact that we've got a very comfortable group of people that we love very dearly, that we see fairly regularly.
And we're lucky enough to see them a lot.
See them a lot. Absolutely.
Yes, you're right.
But when I think about the experience that other people go through, the people that are particularly new, you know, in particular, I kind of feel like, oh, am I a bit fraudulent because I'm not living some of that experience? Are we not putting ourselves out there? Are we not, and I hate this phrase, but hunting for people, are we not trying to build new connections? And we've been very lucky that we haven't had to do that particularly.
Because we have great connections that we like seeing a lot of.
Great connections. Yeah. And also in that, you know, we do host our own events, so it brings people that are often interested in us in some way to us. So
until they see my face.
it's made us...
She gives me facts.
Well, it has made us lazy because you host the event. But also the flip side of that as a host is that it's very hard to build those connections and move them into a good space until another time you go, oh, that couple was great, but they've now spent their evening chatting to those and they're off fucking them in a playroom or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
You kind of miss your opportunities
miss that opportunity. Now, I don't know that if we'd miss that opportunity if we were at someone else's event. I don't know if that was the case, if we are truly shit at it.
Isn't this some kind of no fear poster? You miss 100% of the opportunities you don't take.
Yeah, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And if you're not living life on the edge, then you're taking up too much space. Yeah. Hashtag no fear 94.
Oh God, that sounds like a motivational poster.
It does. But some of these things are sort of bopping around in my head.
Yeah, I know. I get all that.
Honestly, I don't want to demonize you on this, and that's absolutely not my intention. What I do recognize, though, is that you don't make it easy, and we do need to kind of get to the root of how do we move forward with this view. And I, you know, we're talking about separate dates, and you know, I've been on one and you've got 28 lined up or whatever it is.
Wow.
I know.
I only had three last week.
Exactly. But like,
I've been busy.
Yeah. But also I think the core experience for me has always been us going into this together. And as fun it is to explore this other thing, well, as fun as I'm assuming it is going to be. I mean, you keep knocking these dates up and lining them up. However, you've not had one yet, so I don't know how I feel about it. I know, but I need to understand how that's going to impact me. But the thrill of this has always been us doing our thing together. And it's great that we're doing that thing together with friends, but the excitement is on the adventure with friends rather than the excitement of the new. And that's something that's always been quite alluring to us.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100% about the adrenaline rush of the flirt game of new relationship energy, and that kind of we've talked about this so many times about that first kiss that you have with someone, and will they, won't they want to, you know, make out with me? That is incredibly erotic. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, like that first hand job in the Wendy house.
Good God, man. Oh my God. And I just have this vision of those satin tiger pajamas covered. Oh, I don't want to think about that. I'm glad you brought me
friction.
Some wine.
Great with friction.
No, but I miss the thrill of new kisses. I think because that's one of the things that appealed to us a lot when we first kind of went into all this.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, yes, we're very lucky to continue having great connections and, you know, really like mini relationships with people. And, you know, on some level, those are far more rewarding and, you know, have so much deeper connections than, you know, those first just flirtatious kisses with people you don't know. However, I accept what you're saying, that you kind of miss some of that as well.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say is I don't think it makes us any less of a non-monogamous couple because we're choosing to invest our time in existing relationships rather than find new ones. However, it does shift the dynamic significantly from, you know, the definition of swingers isn't necessarily to go and immerse yourself in little poly type relationships. But we do still have an open marriage.
Yeah.
So we are still living that life, but maybe just a part of it.
Rather than
experiencing all of the things that we could be experiencing.
And I think that's part.
Is that what you're getting at?
Yes. I think that's part of it. And I honestly, I don't want to dismiss the relationships that we do have because they mean the world to me.
Yeah, I find them incredible ding, and I don't want to lose those.
No, not at all. But being inherently greedy, I'm like,
well, you want more.
Yes.
You want new ones as well.
Yes. Why not? And we look at our friends and they are still able to have both.
Think that they all have both?
I think all of our friends that we've spoken to have new adventures. The frequency of those new adventures may vary from time to time.
And the success of them,
The success of them.
But the point is you want the adventure again.
Yeah. And I think that's the bit that I'm missing. I think, but I don't want to go too much into this. I think we're just lightly skirting around this topic. And I think this is probably a good deep dive to have for our next episode. But what I'm going to say is that, so listeners, if you've been in this situation before, what did you do to get out of this funk? Like, what did you do? What conversations have you had? Is this something that you've been concerned about? Is it something that's affected your swinging relationship? Or are we just talking shit? Quite possibly.
We
often do talk shit. But is this something that you know, you would approach? Is it something you'd put on the table? And is it something you want to hear us talk about? Because I feel this is it's quite a personal conversation that we need to have, I guess, about this approach and being honest about how
it
we
is.
Feel.
And there's also a slight disparity in terms of the level of effort we're putting in separately to the same thing.
Yes, there is. There is an amazing disparity.
Yes.
One of us does.
I try so hard.
So one of us does. Don't get me riled up on this one, Mrs. H.
I think don't get me started.
Like, what really grinds my gears. So, I mean, there is that thing with
there who is. I accept there's a disparity in terms of.
There's an effort in terms of the podcast, in terms of the admin, in terms of the sites, the fabmin, the swing
how
hubs.
I look,
that's just, all goes together. And this all kind of has led to feeling this way to a certain extent. And I know that sometimes you feel a bit this way and sometimes you're like, I don't give a fuck. So there is a bit of that to put on tape. But what I want to know is, listeners, like, we're going to have this conversation. We're going to record this over the next couple of weeks. We're going to get into it. Get on the table.
Help. Send wine.
We need a ringmaster, please, to control the crowd. And I think, you know, it would be good for us to have this discussion and kind of work out where mm-hmm. we're at, because I think our approach to this has evolved and changed and is now in a slightly different space. And I feel that if someone asked me, like, what is it you're doing? Like, what is your relationship style in this non-monogamy world? I can, of course, tell people what my relationship is with you, which is lovely and delightful and amazing and, you know, hearts and love and all this sort of stuff. That's great.
Yeah.
And some sexy times when you're awake. And I had to get that last dig in.
You did,
and,
didn't
I know,
you?
And you enjoyed it. And but when someone asks, what is your swinging thing? I struggle to describe it at this point in time, because we have these relationships and we have people that we sort of see, mm-hmm. but we're not going through what we used to go through. We're not going to clubs necessarily to find other people, where all that sort of stuff seems to change.
Are we kind of, sorry, not taking new clients right now?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And to a certain extent, I do feel like that's what I'm telling people online. It's like, sorry, we're not looking for new folks right now. And to a certain extent, that is true, depending on who's mm-hmm. sending the message. But at the same point, we're not actually going on to, like, we used to go on to fam and be like, oh, who do you like? What's yeah. who might you want to be in contact with? And now it's just a case of we're either hosting events.
We're comfortably or existing meeting, yeah. in our poly-light world.
Yes.
Instead.
That's the thing. And yeah. I think, like, do we need to amp that up? And it'd be really interesting to have that discussion in front of everyone.
And we will go into this next time. But one of the things I know that I will bring up next time and talk about, and it's a really big thing for me, and I think this is because, and you touched on it when you said you don't really know what you want, and I kind of do, but equally I don't know how to do that in a way. I know my focus has shifted really heavily towards looking mainly for women, rather men and women, or men. So that's going to have a fair impact on how I see new people, because if they're a couple and I'm not necessarily feeling the vibe with the man, it's kind of like, what do you do? Do you still want to get to know him as a couple?
But the vibe has always been that way.
Well, not as much.
I think maybe you've been more
maybe
forgiving.
I'm more noticed. Maybe I'm just finding it more of a noticeable.
Well, I think there's always been the case of if you don't like the person, then
I get that.
And this is that,
but
just
the odds are more weighted, maybe, because yeah. I'm more cognizant that I'm probably more likely to be in just to the woman rather.
But equally,
them. I don't know.
Looking back at the recent event that we hosted, you were making out with men and women.
I know, and I was really happy about it.
But the trick is that the people that have listened to the show and that have listened to this are like, what the fuck, Mrs. H?
Well, I am married to a man.
Yes.
Who I love dearly and yes. still fancy very much. So
thank
I'm
you.
not into men.
I know, but it's just establishing
just saying,
which men and
yeah,
and
I
getting
know,
to that point. Anyway,
it's not very often.
We are now way past our time of recording.
Right,
and this
okay.
is something that we need to look
all
at
right.
in more detail.
Cool.
Where we can truly sling some mud at each other.
Oh, I can't
throw
wait.
Some knives at each other.
Knives out, eh?
Yeah, knives out, definitely. And oh, there's a didgeridoo over there. I could throw that at you. That'd be great.
Wow.
No, right? It's true. There is actually a didgeridoo in front of me.
All right.
Yeah, this is
okay.
cool. Right. So we hope you enjoyed this rambling, shambling description of a couple of things we did and some thoughts that have been in our head.
Yes.
And it's kind of a preamble to the next episode, but we'd love to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear what you're thinking about it. Whether you think this is are we covering this the right way? What are your suggestions? Are we, you know, too deep in the detail on this one to be able to see the woods for the trees and all that sort
the
of...
the devil's in the detail.
Exactly. All that kind of...
The devil's
of
in my wine glass at the moment.
Wonderful.
It's delightful.
The beast is in your wine glass. That's a different one. However, yeah, please get in touch with all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're interested in coming to the Spicy Island, please, you know, give us a shout.
Spice
click the
Girl
link.
Island.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Yes.
We'd love to see you there and we'd love you to party with us. So for that, Mrs. H, do you want to do your thing?
Thank you for hopping into our bed.
Your finger up in the air.
I've got a fact.
You've got a fact.
Actually, no.
Is it a joke or a fact?
No, it's not a joke. Actually, I did have a joke. Can't remember it.
Okay.
And I'm all like fired up on the conversation.
Oh, wow.
So
we're
going to have to wait till next time for the joke. However, I was having a really interesting conversation with... actually, with my personal trainer yesterday,
really?
That you insist I need to see because I'm fucking fit.
No,
unfit.
I don't insist that you... Right, this is lies. This
I'm
is bullshit.
I'm joking. It's just bants, babe. Anyway,
fucking
point is, I was having a really deep debate with him about this very topic. How crazy is this, right? Taylor Swift's cat earns $97 million a year for being a fucking cat, not a fucking on Instagram.
Good. I mean, it's a good cat, one assumes.
It's a cat.
I mean, yes.
I love cats, but also $97 million just for having an Instagram and being a cat.
It's pretty good.
It's bullshit. It's what it is.
Cat shit, more like.
The cat earns more than Taylor Swift's boyfriend. He earns $46 million a year. Not too shabby, right? Fucking cat dosses around, scratches its ass, $97 million in the bank.
Okay.
What world are we living in that a cat earns so much money but just not doing anything?
Do you know, I couldn't actually tell you one of her songs. Not the cat, the lady herself.
Taylor Swift. Quite a big deal right now.
I know. But I genuinely...
She's like a triple billionaire or something.
Equally, I couldn't
tell... Fucking cat earns more money than everyone.
I couldn't tell you one of Ed Sheeran's songs either. I know that Shape of You is one.
That's Ed Sheeran, not Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't know how that goes. This is how...
I'm in love with the shape of you. That's not Taylor Swift, though. It's Ed Sheeran. We're not talking about Ed Sheeran's cat.
But that was just... As an example, I don't know modern pop and stuff.
I don't know if that's true.
But what I can tell you, so I've been on a biography kick lately. Tell you all about Brian Blessed, which is great.
Yeah.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
Ozzy Osbourne. Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard's the current one. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. And I'm enjoying it muchly. But he has more footnotes than actual content. It's great. I'm loving it. So I'm absolutely
well,
invested.
Taylor Swift's cat has more money than...
Than Eddie Izzard. Probably has run marathons, probably. Yes.
Obscene.
Nice.
I'm going to get noodles on Insta.
All right.